Blog Talk Radio.
All right, all my G's out there, sitting at your desk, your pantyhose are ripped, you're angry already, your boss is yelling at you, that guy at the coffee machine keeps talking about how great your boob looks in your blouse today, the boob look in the blouse, yeah. Just stand up, put your hands over your heart, and start.
Girl, we run this mother, yeah.
From Twitter, I have to laugh. Your name, Lesbian Haircut, at Lesbian Haircut. That is hilarious name. I'm sorry. That is just awesome.
I was just watching somebody play. Look like, I don't know what you were playing, but it looked real interesting. I'm sorry I had to leave. I got to go to my own channel, so. I'm sorry.
I know. If I start watching Twitch, what everybody else is casting, I will never get anything done.
You
never.
Know
I'm like, oh my God, how'd they do that?
I am. It's not even how they did that. I'm one of those people, mm-hmm. like, the whole time when you were, you know, and Ginger is the, you know, now officially earned herself producer credit because this is all her idea, the Twitch thing. And it's a brilliant idea, by the way, Ginger, in case I didn't tell you. When you were first telling me this, this is what's in the back of my head, and I've learned not to listen to that voice because I know it's bad. It says, who wants to watch somebody play a game? I never liked Twitch. It's a stupid idea. And then, you know what? Every time I'm on here, I'm sitting watching going, ooh. Not how they did that, but it just pulls you in. I don't know why.
I know, right? It's so good. It's so good.
It's the same thing when MySpace and Facebook and all of them started to come out originally. Blaster was like, Corey, we need the Facebook page. I was like, Facebook? What's Facebook? MySpace? We're not doing that. Yeah, now I'm on there. It's just sometimes these guys here have to drag me kicking and screaming. So don't always think all this is all me. I have some great people here, Ginger and Blaster, mm-hmm. and Snow, and now we got you all. That,
yay, we all love each other.
Yeah, they bring good stuff to the table. Sometimes they have to drag me.
Commercial.
Yeah, they have to drag me kicking and screaming into something new. So brilliant idea Ginger has come up with, and we hope you all enjoy our new way.
Yes,
okay,
yes.
I'm rambling because, man.
Forgive commercials. That's just part of Twitch, but, you know, hey, we have commercials.
It's not commercials that have me rambling. I'm just rambling because I've had coffee. I have been, I have a nice nap. Yes, a nice nap. I'm all kinds of good.
No, I was sitting there thinking because I made like the perfect glass of tea. Every once in a while you get like the perfect glass. You get just enough ice in it where it's not too cold. It's not too hot because the tea is just hot if you boil it. So, I mean, it's just boiled. So tea's still hot. The ice is cold. It mixes together. I swear to God, I stopped and was thinking, you know what? This is what ambrosia must have been. You know, the drink of the gods or whatever it was, this must have been what this was.
Let me drop this bomb because, you see, Ginger's been teasing me with tea since we got on earlier before the show. So mm-hmm. I said I was going to tell her what I was doing during the hour before the show because I'm that chick. I can't say what I would normally say at night because I'm that kind of chick. Not only am I cute, not only am I a gamer, I just whipped up a batch of homemade chili while we were waiting for the show. It is wafting.
Oh, you lovely. Did not.
Yes, it is wafting through the air as I sit here. It smells
See,
so lovely.
Is evil. Just evil, plain evil. But you know what? It's fine because I'm going to go out here and I'm going to put myself out nobody kill me, but I... So
you cut out. I don't know what you said, woman.
I'm not a fan of chili. I don't like chili.
Really? That's because you haven't had my chili. And remember, mine is not the traditional Texas chili. I use the turkey meat, and I've got all my stuff is good for you, meaning you could eat a lot of it, you people out there that are watching your weight. You could eat a ton of it. It's very low in calories, but it's good. You got to know how to make the dietary stuff taste good because, no, it doesn't. It doesn't taste all that great. But trust me, Ginger, you'd like my chili. Mm-hmm.
I might have to try it.
Put some rice or I make you some sweet cornbread. Oh, you know what I'm talking about. The kind you fry in the pan. You know how your grandmother used
to. Oh, my God. That's so
Don't act like you don't like it.
That's amazing.
See, y'all didn't know. You know what? Okay, this is not a well-known secret. I don't even think we realize this. You, me, and Snow, we're always having this weird cooking competition, and it just pops up at random, where they're sending pictures of food that they're making back and forth. So am I. Sometimes I post mine on Twitter. Sometimes Snow will put hers up. Well, no, she doesn't really post hers up on Facebook. You put yours on Facebook. Ginger's the one that puts hers on Facebook. So if you ever...
I put all sorts of stuff up on Facebook.
Yeah, if ever you see that, that means for some reason that day, I don't know why we get into these little weird cooking things. We're like, I'm making cookies. What you making?
Now I want to make cookies.
Don't make cookies. Don't you do it. Don't try to trump my chili.
Totally going to.
Don't you trump my chili. Okay, so we need to do
some. If you like. We apparently have people watching, so I'm telling them, welcome to our chat room. Chime in if you like.
This will be interesting. You know, we haven't done that either. Everybody's been begging for us to do a live chat during the news in the morning, but we usually don't because it's kind of distracting. At night, you know, we can say whatever we want to say without having to watch what we say. Yeah, is generally why we only do it at night. But hey, we could try it. You guys come in, say hello, ask us a question, comment. We'll say it on the air because we like to give you your love. All right, I have to do this one because I gave you Ginger.
Okay. You want me to? All right,
yeah, that red haired girl.
Let me do this. Where's my thing? Over here. All right.
let me know when you got it. Let me know when you got it.
All right. So there is a commercial first we got to get through, apparently.
That sucks. Yeah. Oh, nope. That's not a commercial. Oh, yes, it is. It's for that other show. What is it? Oh, yeah, that's the
Nikita,
which I'm not that fond of. But after this, I'll go ahead and start telling you about it. We told you last year we had one of our fellow geeks on Supernatural, and very excited to announce that Miss Felicia Day will be making another visit to Supernatural coming next week. Make sure you are watching. Give her some love. The name of the episode is going to be called LARP and the Real Girl. I'm so proud. I love you, Felicia. We love you. We're so proud of you.
LARP and the Real Girl?
LARP and the Real Girl. And the episode is Sam. If you're a Supernatural fan, you know how odd this is. Sam and Dean end up going. It looks like Renfest is where they're going. I think I remember seeing Dean dressed up in this knight's outfit and he's got a sword. But my favorite line in the whole trailer is this guy kneels before Felicia and he says, I love you. And she says, I know. But it's after she turns the slow motion thing with the hair blowing in the wind and she says, I know.
Wow. Yeah. And I have to say, this guy that's talking, the whole nerdy dude, he's kind of hot. Kind of very hot.
Yeah, see, nerdy guys, this is what we're talking about. And, of course, you know I love those, too. Unfortunately, they're taken. They do live in Texas. Did you know that, Ginger? They live directly between you and I hear. Or they're from an area between where you and I are. Now, they may not live here anymore, but I'm pretty sure their parents do. So I think we're going to have a road trip. We're just going to drive around in the area.
That sounds... I was like, laugh on me. Let's do this.
I don't think their wives would like that if we offered to sit in their laps. But
I think that's not the trailer we were looking for.
But we're all done with that trailer anyway. But anyway, make sure you check it out next week and let Felicia know how you like it and give her some support. This is her second time on the show. If you want to get caught up on, because they're probably bringing, this is a recurring role for her character, go look up the girl with the Dungeons and Dragons tattoo over on CW and check her out in that episode.
Girl with the Dungeons and Dragons tattoo. Oh, my God.
Yeah. See, there's the trailer again. Love. See, there she is. Yeah, I love you. I know.
That's so hot.
Felicia's awesome. All right, our favorite geek girl. Man, if I like girls, yes, I would be trying to get that. I'd be trying to get her.
Totally.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
All right, so guess it's my turn. Hold on.
Are you coughing?
I am. This morning, my lungs are all like, we do not want to stay in your body. We are out of here.
We talked about that. There will be no coughing.
I know. And I have a trailer to share. Trailer. All right, so this is a little bit crazy. I'm still figuring all this out, people. Forgive me. All right, so get back in the game and kill them all.
Developers,
CG-matic. Oh, my God, that's loud. Where's my sound?
Keep my
mute. There we go. All right, so get back in the game and kill them all. Developers CG-matic and Bulky Picks are glad to announce the release today of the new action survival game Undead Soccer. after you've been banned from a match, you're waiting with anger in the athlete room. You know, I think I've read about this from a couple of days ago, but we have a trailer today. So, hey, you walked back to the field because it seemed too quiet for such a big match and found everything has changed. All players, referees, and audience became, oh my God, zombies! So
really?
There's only two things left with you. Yeah, a soccer ball and a trash can lid. Use them as your weapon and your shield. Your soccer skills will save you from these cruel zombies. Play this endless, addictive game by killing zombies wave by wave. The higher skill you've got, the farther you can go. Upgrade your power-ups and your Super Bowl power to kill more zombies. Unlock cool football styles and shield styles. Normal zombies become just too easy for you. Well, be prepared for the big bosses. Awesome. All right, so again, this is Undead Soccer. It is, it looks like an iOS game. It's not saying whether it's going to be for the Android. I guess we'll find out. Anyways, yeah, Undead Soccer. Yay! Oh, see, iOS. Hey, it's free. Look at that, free. We like free.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah.
All right. Throw that next one up for me, Ginger. And while she's throwing that up, I will tell you up. You tell you about it. Yeah, I gave you another one. Okay. I told you I was on it this morning. I'm up. I'm ready to go. All right. So those of you who love yourself some Need for Speed and got yourself a brand new Wii U and not knowing what to do with it, get yourself ready. You can team up to top the most wanted list with EA and Criterion Games. Announced Need for Speed Most Wanted, winner of more than 30 industry awards. None of them from us, unfortunately, although I love racing games. It's coming to Wii U March 19th here in North America and March 21st in Europe.
Oh, that looks pretty. Oh, my God.
Right?
Is this real? No.
Yes.
Is this a game?
Yes. Need for Speed Most Wanted unleashes gamers into a connected open world where you race, chase, and explore their way to become the most wanted among your friends, by the way.
I gotta figure out how to turn off that darn pop-up.
Utilizing three unique features of the Wii U gamepad controller, including bonus content, the Wii U game makes the race to become most wanted more fun and social than ever before.
Mm-hmm.
Firstly, introducing an all-new local co-op mode, Co-Driver. One player drives while using the Wiimote controller or Pro Wii U controller, and another player uses the Wii U gamepad to provide control and navigation assistance on a fully interactive, real-time map using just their fingers. A partner can distract pursuing cops, switch from night to day, or activate enhanced performance. Okay, this sounds so hot. For any car and even control the amount of traffic on the road. This is the ultimate advantage for gamers who like to stir up trouble for the cops, for their friends, or just for fun. Oh, my God, I think I got to have it. For another competitive edge, players can change their mods, switch into their favorite cars, track milestones, and uncover the city's hidden gems all on the fly using the Wii U touchscreen, ensuring nothing ever slows them down. Finally, Need for Speed Most Wanted on Wii U brings the blockbuster action of the open-world racer to your fingertips. The entire game is playable off-screen using the Wii U gamepad, so games, and you never have to put it down. You can, you know, give over the TV and go continue to play. Need for Speed Most Wanted on the Wii U also includes the Ultimate Speed Pack, so you can take to the streets for five of the sickest, most ludicrously fast cars ever made, including McLaren's F1 LM, Lamborghini's minimalist artwork, the Aventador J, the track focused Pagani Zonda Z, Bugatti's reigning world speed champion, the Bugatti Veyron Grand Sport Vitesse, and Hennessy's savage 275-mile-an-hour ragtop beast, the Venom GT Spider. I actually know that car. Ooh, that was hot. Okay.
That's nice.
So Need for Speed Most Wanted will let you compete against the people you want to defeat most, your friends. With EA's innovative online technology, Autolog 2, the game automatically tracks and compares best race times, high scores, and more. These stats are broadcast throughout the world, the open world, fueling friendly competition and rivalries. Curious if you're still dominating the leaderboards? Well, Autolog 2 alerts you every time you've been knocked off the top, reminding you it's time to reclaim your position. Need for Speed Most Wanted's online multiplayer also ups the ante for social competition. Gamers pick a car, meet up with their friends, and are immersed in a nonstop playlist of action-packed events. Whether it's competing for the best starting position, the ultimate jump, or finishing first place, if there's something to do, there's someone to beat. Any speed points earned on Wii U will add to your existing total if you're playing the game on any other available platforms. right? Again, Need for Speed Most Wanted Wii U will be available here in North America for a mere $59.99, which is way too much, I think. And on March 21st for our European folk for £69.99. Am I saying that right, our European guys? I get gripes that they don't like that we don't know their money, but they won't correct me. Correct me. Tell me what I'm supposed to be saying. Anyway, you can check out NeedForSpeed.com or their Twitter, Need for Speed, or of course their Facebook page, Need for Speed, if you're into the racing game. I will not to be. I love it. I want it. But if I get it, I will not be playing with anybody. This is one of those games where, you know, some of you are really good at Halo. This is my genre, racing games. I pick them up.
And that looks so good. And you said it's for the PS3 too, right?
It's on all platforms, but the Wii U, of
course,
is going to have it.
I'm going to be getting it for the PS3 because I love my Xbox. But the only time I ever log on my Xbox anymore is to play Halo. I've been moving to the PS3 because I don't have to pay the monthly fee. So
I got to keep my Xbox Live, unfortunately.
I don't know.
I know. Hey. I have to keep it so I can chit-chat with you all and relatives who don't know. I don't know why they don't know how to operate Skype, but for some reason they can operate their Xbox.
Yeah, well, see, that's the reason why I kind of started moving towards PS3. My brothers both have PS3s, and that's all they play. And they won't contact me on Skype, but they will play, COD.
Yeah, figure that one out. I don't understand that. I don't know how to do this. And you click log in. Then you click the little button.
It's so easy. It's so easy. At least it should be. All right. So, oh, my God. This is all going down. I don't know if any of you have been in any – oh, my God. I don't know if any of you have been to any stores to sell ammo or guns right now. You cannot get ammo right now, hardly. Everything is sold out. I know. I got to hear somebody very, very upset about this yesterday. Anyways, a father shot my son for banning him from video games. Applauds the president's call for CC research. Going to be going on and on about this morning. We'll talk about this evening, too. The Ohio father who survived his son attempting to murder him after he took away his video games is applauding President Barack Obama's call for the Center of Disease Control, the CDC, to conduct research on the effects of violent video games on America's youth as it relates to
CDC? The Center for now gaming is a girl. Wait,
I know. Seriously, I voted for this guy, and I'm having second thoughts right now.
So
because, really? Are you going to waste taxpayer money on this?
Barack, I said you got a deficit
out of control.
Look, Barack, I said that I would let you touch the fluffy cakes, and this is what you do when I give you that power?
I said
it on Facebook in front of everybody.
Why don't you tell people what they need to be told? Sit the damn shop and stop being stupid. All right. So, anyways, this is to study the effects of violent video games on America's youth. Speaking to local news station Fox 8, Mark Petrick of Wellington, Ohio, said that he was happy that the president called for research and hoped that Congress would greenlight the $10 million in funding so the CDC could get to work. I commend the president for doing this. Back in 2007, his then 16-year-old son, Daniel, stole a gun from his father's lockbox and attempted to kill him and his wife after his father took his video game system away and banned him from playing Halo 3. While Mark Petrick sustained a head injury, his wife, Sue Petrick, died. His son was found guilty in September 2009 and has been serving a life sentence with a possibility of parole after 23. He got involved in the violent graphic video games and became addicted to them and was playing as much as 18 hours a day. You know what? That's your fault.
Yeah.
That is your fault.
Now, I'm going to say this. I'm going to share this morning, and I'm going to say it again tonight. This morning, of course, the local Fox station, which we've visited a few times, I don't think they're going to ask me back just yet because, I'm very upset, very vocal about this. But this morning they had a psychologist that was doing what you call a satellite tour, which means she's on every Fox station. They each get a chance to ask her the question. And our local guy here, Jose Grignon, asked her, is there a correlation between games and violence? And she said, well, no. She said, they're studying. She said, but what they have found is the kids that this does happen and they happen to be video gamers is there's no rules in that and they play the games too much, which already
means. Oh, my God, yes.
And so it's not the games themselves. They said there's no rules in that. You're not paying attention to your kids. Take responsibility, people. It is you that's causing the problem. Watch your kid. If you watch Billy, he would not be able to get an assault rifle. He would not not be able, you'd know something was wrong with him. You're letting him play games 17, that's what she's saying. They're playing games upwards of 7 to 8 hours a week. And she said there's very little rules in their house, meaning they're not told to do chores. They don't, she said, and the kids who are not having this violent behavior, they said they have other things to do. Even, and if, ironically, the person who chimed in before I could even say anything was Baby Natrix. She says, I sure do, lady. I play a lot of video games, and I have a ton of other stuff to do. I play my violin, and I play with my kitten, and my mommy's teaching me how to crochet, and I don't want to kill anybody. And I said, You go, baby. So tonight, so if you are first time listening to us, make sure you're either in this chat room or our Blog Talk chat room, and you can always call in and talk to us or say something in our chat room and chime in, have your say. Maybe we'll send this over to the president to people as well, because we're all trying to, you know, get their attention. Of course, they're ignoring us because, you know, media outlets are not great yet. So make sure you share this with your friends. The bigger we get, the bigger your voice gets, people. All right. Mm-hmm. Now I'm mad. Okay. Every morning, Ginger, stop aggravating me, Ginger.
I know. It's horrible. It's horrible.
All right. Facebook again. Facebook, why? Why you watch?
What you got?
According to our friends over at VentureBeat, Facebook launched a new search, and now you have to figure out what's going on, what's going to show up in these searches. So when the social network announced what it's calling its search graph yesterday, there was one word Chief Executive Mark Zuckerberg kept repeating. Can you hear me?
I'm listening to this. I'm like, what is
it? Wait, I'm getting there. Okay, so there was one word Chief Executive Mark Zuckerberg kept repeating, privacy. As the social network holds...
You ain't got no privacy over Facebook.
So as the social network holds a lot of information that sometimes you don't even know is available about you, like the fact that your cousin still has that photo of you wearing a bathing suit and holding a wine glass, the company is trying to mitigate the surprise factor by being very upfront with what kind of content you'll be able to search. They're saying no one can see anything that they wouldn't have seen, they wouldn't have otherwise been able to see. And this is what the public policy manager, Nikki Jackson-Colaco, said in an interview with VentureBeat. She says, we don't want people to be surprised. It's really bad for them, and it's bad for us. No. Facebook.
We'd never have imagined that. No.
They're saying, here's an instance where people might be surprised when you search Facebook. For example, individually, your interests aren't that bad. So if you like the group called Big Fluffy Cakes, that's not what they're calling it, or VentureBeat, it's the T word that's for Fluffy Cakes. So they said, if that shows up in a news feed, maybe your friends will laugh, and then they'll move on with their days. But when it shows up, as Gizmondo realized, in a searchable list of people who like big fluffy cakes or kinky sex or hating when black people say things that you don't understand, and that gets publicized, all that together looks really bad. The only way to protect yourself from this, of course, is to go through your profile and find out what groups you're in. See something you might not want the whole world to know about? Delete it. The same goes for your photos, videos, and any other aspect of your profile. You would find this at the top right of your Facebook page, the little lock there that you've seen show up with the lines beside it. Click that and start going through these people. Now the question becomes, if you delete it, is it really gone? Now, Colaco is saying, just to clarify, anything you delete from the site is deleted. Activity log is really the place to delete content. It's a summary of what you've done on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
But VentureBeat said, as they noticed, when you delete something off your timeline, it's not actually gone. Now the activity log shows all the things you've done on any given day and allows you to either change the privacy setting of that activity or delete it once and for all. Supposedly, it's organized into content categories such as your posts you're tagged in, posts by others on your timeline, photos, likes, comments, things on your about page, friends, notes, games, and a ton more. It's utterly useful, they're saying, albeit not exactly intuitive, because that's the main criticism. People don't understand the stuff that's available. Activity log will also break some of these categories down into what you've posted and what's been posted by your friends. And if you don't like what your friend has posted, you can ask your friend to remove the content. They said if the content is yours, you can click a drop-down menu to the right and blah, 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 get rid of it. And then it's gone, and they're saying it's not searchable. Now, are the queries kept by Facebook? Yes, but only for a short limit of time. Colaco stressed the policies for Facebook's previous search have not changed in this new iteration. Facebook will still keep the searches for some time as outlined in their data use policy. Now, most search engines do not save queries, but Google does.
Google does.
So again, people will tell you once it's on the internet, it's there. It may go away after a while, some things, but it's going to take some work. They say you can also see what you searched in your activity log if you go search Google. Colaco did tell VentureBeat that these previous searches do not show up in your timeline or news feed. However, this just shows up in your activity log. And no, if before you even ask me, you cannot opt out of this. So people, start watching your Facebooks. And again, keep in mind, it may be gone from Facebook, but once it's indexed by Twitter, it's going to stay there for a while. Don't say anything you don't want to repeat or that you're not brave enough to repeat standing in front of somebody. Don't say or post anything you don't want seen. Just, yeah, don't. Don't.
Yep. Don't. Yep. Always remember, once it's out on the internet, it's out on the internet, and ain't nothing you can do about it, folks.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So, got to share a video with y'all. Let me pull it up. No. Why? Okay, hold on. I will figure this out. I swear I will. All right. So, there we go. Yay! Tortuga! Tortuga? Oh, that's loud. Mute. Okay. The Fantastic World of Tortuga. InnoGames just released new information about the pirate action game Tortuga as the closed beta mirrors the distinct worlds of the game Ethosia, Kartu, and the Empire of the Sun all differ visually. While Ethosia is reminiscent of the Mediterranean, Kartu plays with the Mayan influences, and the Empire is inspired by the Orient. InnoGames also released a video featuring these new various locales, which I am showing y'all right now. If you're watching over on Twitch, it's pretty.
I want it. You know I love me a pirate game.
I know. It looks good. I may actually have to play this because this sea battles.
Yes,
oh my God.
Yes, that's why I like it. It looks like Sid Meier's Pirates. It better be as good. That's what I'm going to tell you people because that's a hard one to beat.
Amazing.
Yeah.
They say the kingdoms are not historical replicas. They have fantasy elements and nautical legends are woven into each area that make them truly unique. InnoGames made a conscious decision to steer clear of typical pirate stereotypes when designing the backdrops. We want to show that the wonderful world of pirates can be more diverse than what is out there now. Players can expect a lot of visual variety from Tortuga. This is coming from Philip Arlitz, game designer over at InnoGames. The kingdoms are further divided into several sectors, whether either PvP missions are played or PvE quests are available. Tortuga is starting out with 9 sectors to be explored. It's going to be an action MMO with RPG elements designed in Unity 3D. At the core of the game, developer by Ticking Bomb Games, is cooperative PvP. All right, so the closed beta is coming in the next couple of weeks. Players can register over at Tortuga.com. Which you know I will be doing directly after the show.
You can go ahead and drop my link because I'm headed over just like now.
All right. Let me. Because you did give me a link. All right, so.
Well, no, I gave you a link for my next one. If I can get it to load up because you know never scroll. I scrolled, I lost it, and then I have to reload it because you know Chrome and I are breaking up. I think at the weekend if it didn't straighten up. Do you hear me,
yeah,
Chrome?
Yeah. Me and Chrome already broke up. I went back to Firefox.
I know. I think I'm just. It's over between us. I don't know what's wrong with Chrome. It's not. It doesn't buy me the candies anymore.
No candy. Oh my gosh.
It's looking at other people. It's saying maybe you should see other browsers. That's what it says. That's what it's saying to me now. You should see other browsers. I don't know. Maybe we. We need to just end it, Chrome. I'm sorry. We gotta end it. You know what? You have to save that link because it will not let me go. Oh, no, wait, there it goes, finally. See, when I threaten it. And then...
All right, because I've got it up. I'm just waiting to hit play.
No, wait, don't hit play yet. It's still not loading. It's like, I'm sorry, let me think about this for a second. I was gonna show you, but now I'm not. I hate you, Chrome. Okay, you know what, I'm going to go to another one. I actually spotted this yesterday, or actually late last night, while we wait for my other page to load. Have you heard about this guy, a developer? His name is Bob. Well, that's not his real name. He's a software developer. Apparently, he really, really likes cat videos. And, of course, he has to work. So how do you solve this problem?
Has to work?
He has to work. He outsourced his work to a Chinese developer. So.
All right.
I saw this up on several news outlets yesterday, and I was like, at first time I saw it, I said, this has got to be a joke. And it's not. Not only was Bob, after he outsourced his work to a developer, was able to do whatever he wanted while he was at work, like read Reddit and surf eBay, he also made hundreds of thousands of dollars in the process, right? What could go wrong? Well, according to a blog post by the Verizon business security team, Bob's antics raised a lot of red flags at his employer, which, as a U.S. critical infrastructure company, saw the traffic coming from China and expected the worst. Ooh. Charged with the task of investigating the case, the security team quickly discovered Bob's plan, which involved routing VPN traffic to his Chinese contractor and passing off the resulting work as his own. Worse, Bob had even shipped the contractor his RSA security token.
Oh, my God.
Which enabled the contractor to bypass the two-factor security measures implemented by his employer. In case you were curious, the entire post is a case study in why companies should be more proactive about checking their traffic logs for unusual network activity, and they don't. Sadly, Verizon.
What is wrong with you, dude?
Yeah, Verizon is not saying how this nightmare has ended, but we're pretty sure Bob is looking for a job today, and he is not watching any cat videos. Bob, you know what you could have done instead is find yourself. Go ahead and start your own business, Bob, would have been a smart move. And then you could have hired all the Chinese people you wanted. Let people know, sometimes I outsource my work. I don't understand why you did that there, Bob.
I don't either.
It's dangerous. You just handed somebody outside of the country access to some security things they should not have. It's very, very, it's very scary, very scary. And still, you know what, Chrome? We're going to have some issues. We're going round and round and round, Chrome and I. I don't know if this is Chrome, actually. This might be our host. I think they may be having some issues, too. I'm not going to call you guys out. So I'm going to have to let Ginger do one. Hold my video, please. Hold it until next time.
I will hold your video. That is fine. I am actually trying to get it to pull up something.
Hold that for me, darling.
Okay, I will do that. All right. So... All right, so we're going to talk about the story, so I'm just going to pull it up because this is where I'm kind of pulling it from. Mainly just wanted to show y'all his picture. Actor Jeremy Kevin Butler, if y'all recognize him, settles lawsuit with Sony. All right, you know what? Hold on, this is not working right. So
we're experiencing technical difficulties.
Eurogamer reports that actor Jerry Lambert has settled a lawsuit with Sony over his part in a Bridgestone ad where he played an engineer playing a Wii video game. In 2012, Sony sued Bridgestone and the actor because they claimed that Lambert's engineer character in the ad was too much like his popular fictitious PS3 spokesperson, Kevin Butler. Bridgestone denied the claim, saying that Lambert's character didn't even have a speaking role in the ad. Sony's claimed that Lambert began working for Bridgestone in February of 2012 while still under contract. Oh, not good with Sony. Lambert's contract with Sony was set to end in August of 2012. The ad appeared 3 days after his contract expired, but his contract had no complete clause had a no compete clause that forbade him from promoting game systems that are in direct competition with its platform.
But he wasn't promoting game systems. He was promoting tires. Really?
I know. While Sony's conflict with Bridgestone continues, it looks like Lambert has waved the white flag and settled, according to information unearthed by a media post. As part of his settlement with Sony, Lambert agrees that his appearance in the Bridgestone ad caused confusion with some consumers, only the stupid ones, and that he violated the no-compete clause in his contract that he really didn't violate. Lambert has agreed to not appear in any advertising related to video games for 2 years unless Sony approves in advance. Wow, dude, really? Come on. That's just, I don't know, dumb. You know, he was driving a Nintendo cart in the advertisement, I want to say.
I didn't see a Nintendo cart.
Well, was it not? I could have sworn in the original deal when it came down, it was him driving a Nintendo cart.
There was somebody behind him, I think, I think somebody behind him was playing a Wii or something, or he was holding something that looked like a Wii. I really don't recall, but I don't see anything in there where he was promoting a game system.
No, not at all.
That's ridiculous.
So, I don't know. Yeah, it is. It totally is.
You know what, Sony? You kill games. You kill them, and then you get rid of your... You get rid of the only good thing, good person that you have there, which is, and a lot of gamers are not very happy about this because they love them some Kevin Butler. We know Blaster loves some Kevin Butler like nobody's business. That could mar your...
The Pirate Game link, I will get it for you. Give me 2 seconds.
Oh, somebody's asking for Pirate Game link?
Yes.
Is that Joe?
Yes,
I bet it's Joe.
It is Mr. Joe, yes.
The Pirate Game,
where I
awesome,
have it.
Right? Yes. Okay, so when you are ready, then you may run my video.
Let me get it.
I had to find other means to access that lovely story, but...
Hey, I'm putting it up in the wrong window.
Yeah, you are, because I don't see it. I don't appreciate that.
My bad.
We speak to the assistant.
I know, right? The assistant's totally fell this morning. But you know, hey, we're working on it. It's brand new. I will get this down, and eventually it'll be, like, so smooth. All right. So, there you go.
All right. This ran across my virtual desk this morning. Unfortunately, I can't get it to come across the virtual desk. It's on my phone, though. So, this is a new game that's out on iPad. It's called Pinyin Pal. Talking about Mandarin Chinese, of course, Mandarin Chinese is spoken and understood by well over a billion people worldwide, and of course is noted as being one of the hardest languages to learn as more business opportunities continue to arise for a lot of us in Asia. Mastering Mandarin is becoming more and more important. Yes, Spanish is too, but Mandarin is the next one up. Enter the new app called Pinyin Pal, the new app for the iPad that makes it easy to define, read, and recognize Chinese characters. This is the first and only viable word game available in Pinyin and comes in a format that a lot of you will recognize. It's kind of like Words with Friends with a twist, but it's teaching you Mandarin. Hot, right? It's the brainchild of one Miss Adele Yin Ma, author of New York Times bestseller Falling Leaves and founder of ChineseCharacterAday.com. She said, I set out to create a game that makes learning Mandarin fun. I'm convinced that the future of language learning lies in playing games. See, takes a woman, guys. Consumed in bite-sized chunks, she said, of course, on mobile-sized tablets. Dr. Ma and her husband, Robert, first conceptualized the game in their living room, playing with pieces of cardboard and paper. Little did they know, the project would blossom into something more impactful. The first version of Pinyin Pal is being offered in English. However, at this very moment, they said they're translating the game into French, Spanish, Italiano, German, Portuguese, Arabic, Hebrew, Russian.
Portuguese.
That's how you say Portuguese. Arabic, Hebrew, Russian, Japanese, and Korean. She says it's her dream that all the people of the world will unite while playing Pinyin Pal. Okay, now she went all off the deep end. No. It should be your dream that we all learn to speak with each other in their native
Yeah, languages. Yeah.
The people of the world will unite. No, stop it. Regardless of one's mother tongue, she says, the basic programming is the same. By tapping a button, a Russian can play with an American or a Chinese with a Japanese without knowing one another's language. Okay, that's kind of hot. And yes, it's made up of Chinese characters. But she says that's the beauty of Pinyin. It is the Mandarin vocabulary spelled out with the alphabet Pinyin. With the alphabet, Pinyin includes a built-in dictionary, Word Finder, which acts as guides during the game. And because of this, novices who don't know any Chinese can play competitively against native Chinese speakers from the first turn. Players are pitted against their friends on social networks or random opponents and challenged to take turns spelling Pinyin words. It offers some other key features, she said, the ability to chat with an opponent in both English and Chinese. The game is completely ad-free. There are no in-app purchases required to play. Word Finder will analyze the letters in your rack and teach you what Pinyin words to play. The dictionary and Word Finder feature include audio pronunciations for each word, so you will literally be learning the language as you play. View the characters associated with Pinyin words played on the board at the tap of a button. You can earn extra points by recalling the correct character and meaning of the word that you just played. And, of course, you get to brag on Facebook about your high scores. And this is some serious bragging rights because this is not even in English, people, at least for us. The Pinyin Pal app is available for free right now on the App Store and iPad, and they're saying later on we will get it with iPhone and other iOS devices. Is there no Droid? Woman, come on.
At the end of the video, it did say coming to Droid soon.
Maybe she didn't put it in her PR that she sent over. Anyway, Adeline, this is brilliant.
Yeah, 'cause I was going to throw a fit until I saw that. And then I was like, oh, okay, never mind.
this is absolutely brilliant. I don't like the whole utopia thing you threw in there. We can unite. No, yeah, but I love the idea, and I have been trying to pick up a little Chinese and Japanese, and all I got is some hi. That's all I know. That's Japanese for yes. That's all I know. That's it. So you do one of these for, I think you should look at doing one of these for all languages, because that would be a good way to learn. That's how my French has gotten considerably better, through a game that I tell you all about quite often. I'm not going to repeat it again today, but yeah, she's right. I think that's the way we're going to have to do a lot of things, is teaching kids via games. Matter of fact, ironically, I told y'all last week was Baby Nature's birthday, and I had to go. I didn't have to go. I went to pick her up school early as a surprise, and when I got there, her science teacher is really hardcore. This woman is like, you know, nun, German nun or something. She's like, she cannot go. We are doing science. And I said, okay, you can sit there. And they were actually, I was impressed. She had a laptop with a built some kind of projector device she was using. And she was actually teaching them about weather and climate, but it was set up like it was a courtroom, the game that they were playing. And they were the lawyers, or she was the lawyer or something like that, or they were on the stand and they were asked questions that had to do with the weather, and they had to answer them, and they, you know, they were picked at random according to the computer. It was really kind of intricate and really freaking cool. I was like, how come we didn't have this in school? And, you know, the of course, these are all, I told you, brainy kids, so they were able to follow just fine. When I jumped in, I was like, wow, I am impressed. So she's absolutely right. Games make a whole big difference in how kids learn. So if you people out there are concerned that they're picking up bad habits, why don't you start supporting some more of the educational games out there then? The really good ones, like this one that's come out. I like to see this one in a school.
Exactly.
Do you know our kids here in America, we don't teach them languages? Do you know kids that are like Baby Nature 6 age, by the time they're her age, they can speak 3 different languages? And our American.
I know, yeah, there's a blog that I used to, he no longer writes it, but there's a blog I used to love to read. He was a Swedish guy, 2 kids. Their kids, by the time they were 3, could speak 3 separate languages fluently and were learning 2 others.
Mm-hmm.
It was amazing. They spoke Swedish, of course. They spoke American English, and they spoke Spanish. And they were also learning German and something else. Portuguese. They were learning Portuguese in their daycare. But they were learning German because their father was a tennis player, and he went to Germany. And, yeah, they were learning German over there.
Yeah, they were our kids.
It was amazing.
It's sad if they don't teach.
Yeah, so that his kids took longer to speak than normally. I mean, cause they were like 3 or 4 almost before they ever said their first anything. But when they did, it was like a complete sentence, and it was fluent in a language.
One day. All right, what you got?
I know, right? I know, right? All right. I have got, if I can make this work, hold on, a little bit of this, a little bit of that. All right. So I'm going to be talking about, oh, yeah, baby, hold on. I had it. Caballeros.
I see. It popped up there. It was just taking its time.
Too many windows. Caballeros Productions offers expertise to president on the weaponization of outer space. If you did hear, the president and the White House shot down the idea for the Death Star. We meant to mention this earlier in the week, but it's mildly amusing. While other organizations are offering their expertise on video game violence to the president and vice president of the United States, Swords of the Stars 1 and 2, Fort Zombie, and North Star developer Cabreros Productions offer some expertise in, well, another area, the future weaponization of space. In an amusing open letter to the Obama administration posted by Cabreros Productions CEO Martin Sirulis, you know, Martin Smith on Facebook, the company offers its 2 decades of experience developing space combat simulations to provide the administration with all the information it needs, provided that those involved have a minimum working knowledge of Galaga. So in the letter, dated January 11th, says, Mr. President, in light of the recent announcement by Vice President Biden that he is seeking to meet with elements of the video game industry in regards to the gun control issue, we at Cabreros Productions are excited by the possibilities of this initiative and would like to offer our video game experience to your administration on other matters. We here at Cabrera's Productions have 2 decades of experience in space combat simulations, and we think we would be ideal to sit in on any of your administration's panels regarding the shape of future policy for space militarization and weapons. We are putting our expertise at your disposal and can put a briefing paper together for your people whenever you require. We will assume they all, at a minimum, have a working knowledge of Galaga. Thanks for your time, Martin Smith, through whatever your name is, CEO Cabrera's Productions.
Smith will do.
Of course, like I said, recently the administration did respond and shot down the petition asking for the building of a Death Star as it does not support the destruction of other planets. I'm a little sad about this personally.
I don't think we need a Death Star, honestly.
And I would totally, I would volunteer to be a maid.
If we have a Death Star, that means we have to have a Darth Vader, and we saw how that turned out.
You can be our Darth Vader.
Me?
Yeah, why not?
No. Sure. Did we not discuss my rating? Chaotic neutral. I caused a little chaos on both sides. I cannot be Darth Vader. He was clearly on the dark side. I'm on the fence. I got a little light side powers. I got a little dark side powers. Just depends. You know? All right. Just a few short hours ago, it was announced that a congressman is proposing a bill to make the ESRB ratings legally binding. A U.S. congressman has proposed a bill which will ratify the country's ESRB rating systems into law, making age ratings compulsory on boxes and the sale of adult games to minors illegal.
I like this.
And Representative Jim Matheson has tabled H.R. 287, partly in response to the recent public shooting tragedies in America, which has reignited debates on gun ownership and regulation, as well as prompting President Obama to call for research into the effects of violent gaming on young minds. The bill, listed as intending to require ratings labels on video games and to prohibit the sales and rentals of adult-rated games, video games to minors, is in its early stages and having been referred to the House Committee on Energy and Commerce after its proposal. We need a new committee for that, by the way. There needs to be a committee that handles things that has to do with the digital space. I'm just going to pass it along to you all up there at the White House. Should this bill pass, the U.S. will likely introduce a similar system to that of the leading Europe-wide PIGI system. See how well theirs works, which took over from the BBFC's rating system last year. According to law last July, Australia also passed ratings laws last year, finally introducing an R18 rating to allow the sale of mature games. Now, they just went completely the opposite way. For a more in-depth assessment of the impact of the PEG ruling and the thinking behind, you can hear Yuki CEO consultant Andy Robertson discussing the move in a podcast that GI International did back in July 2012. And Yuki is also the ones that sends us our charts. They keep track of what we're all playing. That's how we get our charts. I am very happy to hear this. I have been begging for this for 10 years. Because once this happens, then parents can stop blaming gamers. Clearly, the only way your child would have gotten that game is you put it in their hand. Therefore, you are to blame. That's the way I see it. I've been begging for them to put this into law and to also force entities, yes, like Facebook, Google Play. We have all the app stores. None of them use the ESRB rating system, and it opens us to problems. I mean, the gaming industry was the first and only that I know of that started the self-regulation. The law didn't force us to create the ESRB. We did it ourselves, but I was waiting for it to be made a law. You parents out there, you can stop blaming the government. Now you're about to be held accountable for not watching your kids when they go out and do stupid stuff. If you want to say that the games made them do it, first thing the lawyer's going to ask you, it is illegal for Billy to be playing this. So how did he get it if you're trying to say that this is what forced him to kill those people? How did he get it? And you can't say, I don't know.
Exactly. I don't know. I mean, I know a lot of people are going to fight this, but I think this is amazing. I think this is really, really, really amazing. And I think this is going to force stores that just have, you know, the ratings at the top of the glass where you can barely read them at Walmart or, you know, Target where they just leave the games laying around or,
well,
you know,
Target,
what was that other one?
We can't get mad at Target. Well, Target has stepped up after we did our thing. Walmart, they put it where you can see it now, but they still run the trailers, which I would like to see taken down. Trailers that have for games that are rated 18 should not be running constantly in Walmart. Should not.
No, no. There are plenty of other trailers y'all can run all day long of little laughing ponies and unicorns. Thank you.
They have trailers. And remember, we were talking about, remember I told you a little four-year-old was playing Infamous? And
yes. Oh, my God.
Manager of Walmart. And, again, the last time I was in Walmart, all of the managers were there, and one of them kind of tried to dismiss me. And then after I started to talk to him and tell him who I was, he says, "Oh, well, you know, we were planning on doing that." I says, "You know what? It's not enough to plan. We've been talking to you people for 3 years." I says, "And every time I come in here, I get home, I get a call from your regional manager. She argues with me and tells me it's not so. I'm going home and post these pictures up on Twitter." And if you look through our Twitter, I did. I'm going to post these pictures up, and I'm going to keep doing it till you change this. This is ridiculous. There's a four-year-old over there playing Infamous 2. Now, granted, his mama should be watching him, but if you didn't put it in there, he wouldn't be playing it. Why don't you put this is the one time My Little Pony needs to be in as a demo, or something like Michael Jackson, The Experience. This business here should not be up for them to get their hands on. You need to take your half of the responsibility.
Exactly. Exactly.
Anyway, we'll be talking more about this tonight. We'd like to hear your opinions. You don't have to agree with us. You may think this is a bad idea. We'd like to hear about it. Don't mean we won't hang up on you when you call in, but you can call. No, I'm kidding. We won't hang up on you.
We won't. We promise.
We won't hang up on you. We'll hear you out, and then we'll argue with you, because that's part of the fun. 9 p.m.
All right. So I have got another trailer for y'all. This is – oops, it went small for some reason. Okay, so, sound. No sound, thank you. New Yurok is what this video is about, apparently. It's a new trailer. You play as a pilot on board a scout ship called the Golden Eagle, which is manned by a crew of intelligent and dangerous chickens. Oh, yes, folks, that says chickens.
Are they mutated prairie chickens?
I'm going to assume so, yes. After responding to a distress call that leads them to the solar system in which we humans reside, they attempt to establish contact, but are surprised when the only answer is hostile. So starts their explosive trip across the planet, during which they'll meet the peculiarities of the bizarre future and show no mercy to the fleets of humans and robots that dare stand in their way. Humans must answer.
Has
an emphasis on evading dangers, hidden bonuses, epic boss fights, and a deep upgrade and point system. Placing temporary turrets and experimenting with different weapons is a must to pass through the most dangerous planetary defenses. Humans Must Answer will be released in 2013 for Windows PC. It actually looks kind of fun. I may play it. I guess we'll see.
It's very old school, and it looks hard, which I like.
Exactly. All right. So what you got for it? What you got?
We don't do anything easy. We always do it rough.
Okay. Do it.
That was a Latina Turner for y'all.
Nice.
We never do anything easy. All right. Zynga, man. Zynga. I don't even know what to do
what
with you.
What did they do this time?
Well, we all heard, if you were listening, if you've been listening to us, and you should have been. the San Francisco gambling startup Betaville has hired Jonathan Fleischer, Zynga's vice president of business development. According to a report on TechCrunch, Fleischer will join the company as its executive vice president of business development, similar to his previous roles at Zynga and EA. Fleischer came across Betaville while working at Zynga due to their social gaming's growing interest in combining casino games with real money gambling, which I think is a horrible idea, Zynga. He's saying we're seeing a convergence between the free-to-play social gaming world and online gambling world. No, we're not. If you incorporate real money gaming, you'll get a higher lifetime value from your players. No, you won't. You get people who don't eat or don't feed their kids, and they can't pay their bills. And if you don't believe that, you need to go over and talk to the good people at Linden Labs. They will tell you why they yanked the gambling from their game. Then you'll be able to outspend other companies in that space that aren't doing real money. Yes, you will, but what about your people?
You can still find it if you know where to look. But
yes, it's a lot harder to find, but when they find it, they usually snatch it out. Betaville services will allow casino game developers to correctly identify which users are eligible for real money gaming features based on age, location, and jurisdiction, not judged by the fact that at $5 they spend another last $5 and they're about to lose their house. Legal issues restrict the company from operating here in the U.S. Thank you, U.S. But it also reaches iOS gamers it already reaches iOS gamers in the U.K. Sorry, U.K. people. And a number of other territories on Droid. No. I do not agree with this at all. We do not need to have gaming, legalized gaming as far that gambling and gaming. I don't like the two to mix. I don't mind if you're going to, when I play your game, say if you play for so many hours, I said that Xbox should do this. Some companies doing it. We talked about last month. You're going to say if I unlock a certain achievement, I get so many points towards the Microsoft points, or if I reach this amount of points, that's different. I will do that. I'll play. If I can take my points and translate it into something else, maybe a free controller, maybe I get if I save enough points, I might be able to get myself another Xbox. And you can even make a list, points from these particular games. Somebody is not using their brain at these companies, so you just want to just take my money flat out. Can you at least be a little bit more subversive but honest at the same time? You could trick me. You might say, you know, if you have Assassin's Creed 8 and you unlock 5 achievements, that's 100 Microsoft points for you. I'd do that. I'd buy it for that. You just made me spend $69, and yeah. I have a chance to get something back out of it. Y'all just, ugh. Some of you dropped on your head, as Ginger says, as babies. What's wrong with you?
Repeatedly.
Did you talk about all the zombie app on the Amazon store, by the way? Grave Stomper?
No, I don't think so. We did.
Well, we may not have time to talk about that, but go ahead and tell them your story. If we do, I'll tell them.
Okay. Actually, I'm trying to find the video or the story that was this. Here it is. Okay, so have we talked about Need for Speed? I don't think so.
Yes, we did. We talked about that beginning. Come on.
Never mind. And that's why that window was open. All right, so I'm going to talk about.
Do you want me to take this one? I got mine ready. Show
oh, you got ones there? All right, so I was sorting through here trying to figure out what I've done because I did close those windows somewhere. I am learning. I'm learning slowly. All right, so you can go ahead and talk about that.
This is a new game that is up on the App Store, on the Amazon App Store, called Grave Stompers, Zombie vs. Zombie. This is a video game app that experienced what they're calling a meteoric rise in popularity among smartphone users when it debuted 5 months ago. It is going to relaunch as a new and improved version of its former self and will be available for a mere $1.99 on Amazon's new handheld tablet, Kindle Fire, starting today. It's been announced by its creator, Matthew Newman. Hi, Matthew. The app is the latest in the current zombie craze. Dang, I should have did my Walking Dead music. Forgot. This is a zombie watch right here. It places you in the role of a zombie hero who finds himself...
He's so cute.
They are adorable. Who finds himself in the midst of a 3D world where hordes of mutated undead creatures spawned by the game's maniacal villain, Dr. Cahill, have taken over. Armed with a chainsaw, you can fight your way through 80 levels that increase in difficulty as you advance. This alternate world features settings ranging from a quiet beach town to a chaotic junkyard, all swarming with the living dead. The game starts off with players fighting off simple zombies. As it progresses, your enemies grow in terms of strength and power, to include necrotic corpse demons and zombies. New to the latest version of the game is the introduction of killer character Ghostface from Scream 4. It can be purchased for $4.99 and can be enlisted to help you advance. Newman said that in addition to Ghostface, Grave Stomper has meant to continue incorporating other characters from major horror film series. You got to get permission for that, man. I see some lawsuits coming your way. The app also offers weapons upgrades, rocket launchers, and Gatling guns. And he's also saying, Matthew's saying, we were floored to have attracted 500,000 gamers when we originally launched Grave Stompers a few months ago. We re-engineered that version and improved it considerably.
Oh, my God.
The players back and attracting new ones. The fact that it's now available on Kindle Fire should help us reach a whole new audience. You can visit gravestompers.com if you want to check that out. And, yes, this is it, the game running on the Kindle Fire, I'm guessing.
So that is totally adorable. And if I can find my mouse, there we go. That is so cute. I was sitting there watching that. That's just, I love that. I want to play that.
I don't know if it's available on your Nook, though. I think it's a Kindle Fire exclusive. It looks awesome.
Man.
Sorry, but we have to give our Kindle Fire people some love. Kindle Fires are not bad machines. I just think they're a little fragile. But
you're right, of course.
It's a little fragile.
All right, so I was talking about earlier this week.
You got two minutes, by the way.
Never mind. I'll save this one for tonight, talking about Aaron Swartz and his untimely death and how horrible it was.
Yeah, and we also have a story going up about him today. Mr. Ural wrote a bio about Aaron. If you don't know anything about him, because a lot of you don't, you can go over and read about him and learn something about his life.
Awesome.
It's about that time.
It is. It is. It is about that time.
All right, guys, make sure you are here tonight, 9 p.m. Central Standard Time. We are up in the weekend, talking about stuff going on this week. And also talking about this epic battle with some porn stars. You can definitely watch it on Facebook. It's a whole lot of stuff.
Later, boys and girls. Boys and girls.